Hello and welcome to the Project 119 podcast this Friday, July 28th. My name is Amy Harwell and I am reading for us today. Now, the lovely Mrs. Mary Splon, who is our regular host for this podcast, often interviews guests on Fridays, and I thought it would be fun to interview Mary today and to hear a little bit more from her about where she's come from and where she's going. So to start us off, I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 28. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But you," he asked them, "who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Then he gave the disciples orders to tell no one that he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Oh no, Lord, this will never happen to you." Jesus turned and told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me because you're not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned earlier, we have the pleasure of having Mary Splon as our special guest on the podcast today. Hello, Mary.
Well, thank you, Amy, and thank you so much for reading this week. As I've been recording you, I just soak in your voice. You have such a wonderful speed and intonation about what you speak. But more than that, I have so appreciated your commentary.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure. First of all, I have a question for you. In relation to today's reading, this reading, this business with Peter is quite the roller coaster, wouldn't you say? Peter goes from being on the highest of highs, being declared the rock on whom the church will be built, to then we turn around and Jesus is saying, "Get behind me, Satan," the lowest of lows. As Peter struggles to understand, as Peter struggles to accept that God's plan is different from his plan. And it just makes me think to myself that if I had a biblical doppelganger, Peter would be my number two. Not my number one, mind you, but my number two.
Well, okay, wait a minute. I know that you're interviewing me, but I want to know what your first doppelganger is.
Oh, my first biblical doppelganger is for sure Martha.
I can see that. I think that's why we're friends.
Poor old Martha. Okay, she gets a bad rap.
But Peter.
But Peter would be my number two. The ups and the downs, the highs and the lows of walking with Christ and and also being a very fallible human with limited understanding and ideas of his own, I'm curious to know if you have a biblical doppelganger, Mary. Who is it?
I was just thinking as you were reading this passage about how much I identify with Peter. I can remember when I was a child lying in bed and thinking, oh my goodness, is this for real or not? Like, is Christianity real?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the passage that I would come back to again and again to remember my faith. And I would say with the words of Peter, you know, I would say to the Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That was just such a clear and concise reminder to me that, yes, this is real. Peter said it. He had been with the Lord for 3 years and he had seen him at work. And then he turns around, like you just said, and he doesn't understand fully. And that is me. I oftentimes just struggle so much to understand what God is doing in my midst, and he's having to rebuke me. And the reason that I struggle is because I have in mind the concerns of the world way too much, and not the concerns of God. So I definitely would say with you that Peter is one of my doppelgangers.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned in your response, you, a little girl in bed, turning to scriptures in times of need. That's such a beautiful image. Tell us a little bit more about where you grew up and what that experience was like for you.
Well, I'm from a small town. I'm from Calpin, South Carolina. We had about 3,000 people, I think, when I was growing up. One red light. Wow. Now we have 3 red lights.
Moving on up.
The Revolutionary War battle, the Battle of Cowpens, is known throughout history, and my town is where the battle happened. And so it was a turning point of the Revolutionary War. So each year we have Navy men who come to our town for the Mighty Move Festival. We have 2 naval ships named after my town, and we have a parade, a golf tournament, and many of the crewmen and the former crewmen will come back and celebrate with us for that day. So anyway, just a lot of fun. The USS Cowpens is named after the Battle of Cowpens, and our town gets to celebrate that. Anyway, grew up in a small town. My dad's a pharmacist, my mom a teacher. They're both retired now, but really formed my faith. They took me to church. They taught me the scriptures. Mm-hmm. They invested their lives in me and in my brother. And when I was, I think, 6, almost 7 years old, we had vacation Bible school one summer. We were talking a lot in vacation Bible school about what it meant to follow Christ. And one night after vacation Bible school, I came home and I started asking some questions to my mom. And she led me through the scriptures. She led me through some passages in Romans. And then she asked me if I wanted to pray and tell the Lord that I wanted to follow him. And we prayed together. And then afterwards, I stood up and I was so excited that I wanted to call all of my cousins to let them know that I now was a follower of Jesus. And so we had a rotary phone. Sorry if kids are listening. They have no idea what I'm talking about. But it was up on the wall. And I was so short, I couldn't even reach it without getting on a stool. But I have the memory of standing on the stool and calling all of those who love me and just reminding them of the faithfulness of the Lord through the fact that he had saved me. And so that's a little bit about my testimony as well.
That's amazing. First of all, thanks for all those fun facts. Learn something new every day. But what a beautiful testimony you have.
Thank you.
So then, if my understanding is correct, you went on to engage in missionary work and then on to seminary. What caused you to go from salvation in Christ to then this decision to pursue it with your whole life in that way? How did you get there?
When I was in the fourth grade, I went to a missions camp, and there was a journeyman missionary there. I don't remember her name. I don't even remember what country she went to, but a journeyman goes for 2 years and serves somewhere for the sake of the gospel. And so she presented and she challenged us to think about serving God. And my mom always said, everyone can be a missionary. And what she meant by that is, like, you can serve where you are. But I internalized and thought, I could do this too. Mm-hmm. And the night that the journeyman presented in my bed, it was not an audible voice, but I heard the Lord say to me, I want you to be a journeyman. Mm-hmm. And so I got up and I told my counselor, and, you know, at the time I was in the fourth grade, she kind of smiled at me and, you know, nodded her head. And then when I got home, I told my parents, I want to do this when I grow up. I want to be a journeyman. And so I never let go of that dream or that desire that the Lord put in my heart. And so after college, I went through the process of becoming a journeyman missionary, and I spent 2 years in Mexico City. I think the buildup to that was, I want to go and do something for the Lord. And the reverse happened. The Lord was doing a work in me. Mm. He was reminding me of my need for Him. Sorry. That He's the one that does the work, you know? And I had so much in my spirit, my soul, that needed reformation. Mm. And He was doing the work of reforming me, still working on me, but He taught me a lot about what it means to truly follow Him. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of my experience in Mexico, I taught missionary kids there, and then also worked with community efforts and trying to get to know my neighbors, things like that. But at the end, I went on a prayer retreat because I had no idea what I was going to do when I got home. And in fact, seminary was not really attractive to me. Mm. I thought I might want to go into graphic design or something like that, although I'm not very good at art, so that would have failed totally. But I went on a prayer retreat, and during that retreat, again, not audibly, but it was like the Lord planted a seed of, I want you to go to seminary. And He also put Gardner Webb University in my mind. I didn't even know that Gardner Webb had a divinity school, but they do. And so I looked online, and sure enough, it is 45 minutes from my hometown. And I went, and Gardner Webb is where I began my studies of seminary. But it wasn't as if the Lord said to me, Mary, I want you to go because you're going to be a junior high school minister one day, or you're going to be the minister of connections. It was just the next step. It was like, I want you to go to seminary and to grow and to learn. And so when Wayne got home, we went to Beeson Divinity School together, which is here in Birmingham, Alabama. And after we graduated, we went to the University of South Carolina for 1 year, and then came back to Birmingham to Mountain Brook Baptist as kind of co-youth ministers, and then moved into other roles after that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you for flipping the switch a little bit. I'm a little nervous, so it gives me a little bit of compassion for people that I start interviewing.
But I feel like there's so much to learn from your story. You're such a great model and example of what it looks like to live in obedience to Christ, that you heard the word that said, go do this thing. And without knowing what the future was or what the step after that was going to be, that you just followed. Recently, Reverend Splann preached on the idea of doing the next right thing. And I feel like that's such a shining example of what that looks like in action, to just do the next right thing without knowing what the future holds. Such a challenge for me. So you are quite an inspiration. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us. So before we wrap up, a few quick questions. Do you have a favorite food?
Yes, steak with mashed potatoes or a loaded baked potato.
Favorite movie?
Pride and Prejudice.
Which version, though?
Oh, important. Like the 2000 and something
the
version.
The Keira Knightley version?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, we're going to have words about that. We're going to have it out. The 2000-ish version versus the BBC version.
Well, I've never highly seen contested. The BBC version all the way through.
Okay. Well, for those who are uninitiated, the BBC did a mini-series version of Pride and Prejudice starring the one and only, and might I add, very handsome Colin Firth, and it is worth your watch.
Okay, I'm going to watch that. Now, yes. If we're talking plays, my favorite one on video is My Fair Lady.
Oh, classic.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a classic.
Have you seen it all
of
the way
through?
Of
course I've seen it all
the
way through.
It's a little long, but it's wonderful.
It's a must watch. Audrey Hepburn.
Yes.
And Rex Harrison.
Oh, how do you know all these names?
It's kind of my thing. Musical theater. You're talking my language now.
Okay, so what is your favorite?
My favorite movie?
And play.
Oh, gosh. My favorite movie is probably Under the Tuscan Sun.
Okay. And musical?
My favorite musical... Oh, that's so challenging. I'm going to have to say Sunday in the Park with George.
I've never seen either your favorite movie or your favorite
musical.
Okay, we'll
add them to the list.
Okay.
Sunday in the Park with George is a musical by late composer Stephen Sondheim, but he takes that Georges Seurat painting, you know, the Grand Jeté painting with all the little dots, Sunday on the Grand Jeté.
Got nothing.
Okay, well, Google it. But he creates a whole story around this painting and Georges Seurat, who painted it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Okay. Last question. Any hobbies, things you do for fun? Like, what are you doing when you're not being Mary Splon at Mountain Brook Baptist Church?
I think I identify with Wayne, who would say my kids are my hobbies right now. I love baseball. So watching Webb or softball, watching Eleanor with May, just hanging out with her. But if I had like a day to myself, I would like to go on a very slow jog. I've gotten a little bit into weight training, not enough, but do a little weights. I would love to listen to a book on CD or on Audible, and I want to be at the beach, just watching the waves as I sit under an umbrella.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about you?
I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone who listens to Project 119. I would love suggestions on how we can make it better and also on ways that we can connect more fully with the Lord. And I just want to thank Him for continuing the work in us, even though we are like Peter. We don't have it all figured out, but we believe and we say to you, Lord, do your work in us.
Thank you, Mary, for sharing. And let's close out today in prayer. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all of the leaders and teachers and members of our church, for all of the people that come in to serve and to lead and to guide. And we pray for your guidance and wisdom and protection around all of them, that they might continue to do your good work and to spread your holy name to all who attend this church and to everyone in the community that they reach out to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.